Good morning, Thresholders.
Good morning, Lobster Crew.
Good morning, Flat Earth. Good morning, Simulation. Hold tight, my multiverse crew. We out here getting it done. Yes, indeed. The man of the hour, Mr. Leveler, out here with his latest release, Error, on Technique. Ooh-wee! Ladies and gentlemen, sisters, brothers and others, all crustaceans under the one crustacean nation, all across the flat earth, all out into space, to the far-reaching ends of the universe. Ladies and gentlemen, it's 3 minutes past ten. Welcome to Coffee and Memes.
Steady job, a couple extra potatoes, that's all I want.
You're getting on, you're pushing 30, Slubby. You know, it's time to think about getting some ambition.
Oh, I always figured I'd live a little bit longer without it.
Don't forget, kid, that what you're trying to do here is to be bright and chipper and entertaining and intelligent and sort of glitzy. And that's funny, and it's kind of cool, and it's interesting, and it's edgy, and all of that. It puts that facade of momentary charisma on you, and if you don't play that out, you actually fail.
It's 4 minutes past ten. You're locked and loaded with Threshold.fm. 16 in the clip, one in the hole. You wouldn't have it anyway, because that's...
Lobsters.
Oh, God. Right. Anyway, look. Hi, welcome to the show. Got Leveler on today. He's a good lad. He's a good boy. I was doing some some looking up, a bit of reading on him, just a bit of, you know, a bit of book learning on Leveller today. And there's a lot of fun going on in his Discogs page, so we'll get into that. Let's just get him straight on the horn now. There's no point in messing around, is it? No, it's not like you want to sit around here, listen to me talk bollocks all day. I mean, like I do every show. Anyway, let's get him on. Let's find, where is he? Okay. When I say DJ. Oh, there he is.
Ah,
look, he's got the YouTube on. He doesn't know what's going on.
Hello, mate. You right?
Yeah, good, man. How you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad.
Are you the best dad in the world, according to that mug there?
Mate, the mug don't lie. They don't give these out willy-nilly.
Best dad ever. Intense.
Ever.
Oh, there seems to be a lag on my... Hold on. Is my my video coming up on yours?
No, I've got it on the computer screen, but it's muted.
Confusing times. Well, people in the chat, let me know whether or not it's all sort of gone wonky and weird. These things happen, you know. Otherwise, you know what will happen is I'll be forced to put up that picture of you off of off of Discogs. Please, instead. No one needs that in their life, do they?
No, certainly not. That's going to haunt me forever, that one.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere. It's worth getting into some of the bits on there. Also, the social media links on there are to Bebo and
Bebo?
Yeah.
Oh, I really don't want to see that Bebo page. God knows what's on there.
Well, they died a long time ago, I think. They went under. You got Bebo and you got your MySpace is on there. That's fine.
Funny thing is, I found my MySpace. I managed to log into it. It's a couple of years ago now, but I found all the messages that I used to send producers and labels when I was like 15, and they are so cringeworthy. I think I sent Nicky Black Market a message telling him that I loved him and he was the godfather of drum and bass and I wanted to have dinner with him and everything.
Wanted to take him out for a nice dinner?
Yeah, man, I was a strange drum and bass kid.
Well, I mean, that would be nice, though.
It would. I wouldn't say no to a dinner date with old Nicky.
Yeah, I mean, he's a lovely man. I've always had a nice time whenever I've seen him at shows.
Yeah, he's a good lad, good guy.
Yeah. Oh, this is all a little bit of the lag going on with all of this.
Is there?
Yeah. What happens if I take you off? Oh, look. Yeah, now it's all okay.
Okay.
Well, this is a deep concern. I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to put up a picture of you. And my apologies to everyone watching that's just having to deal with this nonsense. Look, here's a nice picture. Look, here's a modern day picture of you.
I can't see anything. It's delayed.
Oh, there's... Okay. Well, anyway, there you are. Listen, mate, how are you? You all good?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Very well.
You got yourself? Yeah, I'm fine. You got a studio at the bottom of the garden. That's every young boy's dream.
I know, I love it. It took a lot of work and, yeah, it's a couple of years now about it, but I absolutely love it.
Yeah? Nice. What have you been up to tunes-wise recently? I was looking at this Error track. That came out, what, middle of the year?
Yeah, a few months back.
August,
on
I think.
Technique.
Yeah.
Which I'm quite happy with.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah. I was looking forward to that coming out for a while. I've been a big fan of Technique since I was 15, buying all their vinyl, so it was nice to have a release on there.
Yeah, you've been slagging it about a little bit. Haven't you got something coming on program, or is that already out?
That's out, yeah. Like up until like a year ago, everything I released was on my own label. And then about a year ago, I decided I was just going to branch out, work on some other labels. I had a release on Program. I had two tracks on Prototypes' Get Hype label, and then the Technique thing, and yeah, there were some really exciting projects lined up for next year too.
Wicked. You want to fill us in on any of this secretive goings on?
I've got an EP coming with Critical, which I'm really excited about. Yeah, very excited about that.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's scheduled for March, I believe.
Nice. They're doing some great stuff. I mean, they've always been doing great stuff, but they're I really like their recent output. So, is it like more towards that sort of sound?
Kind of. Yeah. Like I've obviously grown up with Jump Up, and it still has a very strong place in my heart. So it influences everything I do. But I'm now working on more of a minimal deeper-ish kind of sound, but still with a bit of a jump-up edge to it. And that's primarily what the Critical EP is all about.
Would you call it alt jump-up?
Yeah, we can go with that one.
Yeah, that's a term that I've been trying to coin, but as of yet has received absolutely no traction from the drum and bass community. Literally zero.
I'm going to get it printed on t-shirts and everything. I'm back. The
Level of the new king of alt jump up. Avant-garde jump up. Well, there was a bit by Headex called, I want to say London. Was there? Did he do?
I know the tune.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's a jump up, but it's weird. I really like it.
Yeah, I've been playing it out in my sets, and it does work, that tune. It's very, very glitchy and all over the place, but I love it.
Yeah.
It stands out from the rest of the stuff I'm playing anyway.
Exactly, it was. The rest of the stuff you're playing just all sound the same.
It's just bricks don't roll.
Yeah, well, that's what the kids want these days, isn't it?
Exactly. You've got a supply and demand wheel. That's what it's all about.
Come on, you're being booked as an entertainer. You've got to entertain.
Exactly. Deliver every time.
Oh, how long have you been... You're just outside Brighton, aren't you, or are you?
I'm in Crawley. Yeah,
Crawley. Well, yeah. I mean, that's hard work trying to claim that you're from Brighton if you're from Crawley.
I know, but no one's ever heard of it, and it's a bit horrible, isn't it? So I just have to migrate to the nearest city that's actually got a good reputation.
Yeah. Well, you got the bowling there, and there's a bowling alley and a cinema.
Yeah, that is literally all we've got.
Quasar Laser. Is there? Is there a laser quest? That, actually. Yeah, well, there you go, sorted. Dead Andy for Gatwick.
Yeah, mate, that's the best thing, is I can get from the plane to my house in like 25 minutes after gigs, so it's a godsend living this close to Gatwick.
Yeah, you're not that far from audio. You could go to the park, have a kickabout or something.
Yeah,
That'd be nice. So you must have started going out and about in Brighton as a ute.
Yes, that was my first raving home. My first rave, I went to Devotion at Concord when I was...
Oh, shit.
Yeah, like 15, 16. snuck in with a Powers ID and had the best time of my life.
How old are you now?
I just turned 30 a couple of weeks ago.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, I remember that. So that would have been the sort of glory days of Devotion, really.
Yeah, they were selling out month in, month out. Yeah. And then it was like a year after that through the medium of MySpace, I met DJ Fantasy, who wanted to work with me. And then I was working with his label, and he got me as a resident for Devotion for like 18 months. So I ended up, a year after my first gig there, I was warming up every event.
Yeah, I remember. I was there. I was on pingers. It was good.
I didn't even know what a pinger was at 17.
I don't believe you. Going to Devotion. Matt, who ran... you obviously know Matt. Well, Matt Sutherland. Yeah. I don't want to dox him, but you know, towards the end of Devotion, it did feel a little bit like he was picking lineups out of a hat.
Yeah, I mean,
it was hilarious. Be like, oh, who are we going to have at this one? We'll have High Contrast, Tech Itch, Randall, and like all good names. But like, there's no consistency on these lineups.
Yeah, I had obviously no input to that. I was just told to play and what to play and stuff. And yeah, it was my first kind of residency at my gig, so I was just going along with it and. Yeah, I loved it at the time.
Yeah.
My first exposure and an experience of playing out in Clubland.
They were great shows. I played at the last one, and Matt had me on for half an hour at 3:30.
Oh, really?
Yeah, after TC. Everyone was like, right, let's get as many people on the lineup as possible. Have them all play for half hour. It was completely ridiculous.
The jump up scene's very similar now. Like a lot of the larger events, they get so many artists on there that you end up doing 45-minute back-to-backs with two other artists, and it's good. It's a way to showcase a bit of everyone, I guess. Personally, I like to have a bit more of a set to myself and a bit more than a half hour. You can't really showcase what you're all about in half hour.
Well, if everyone's just playing Bricks Don't Roll as well. Then,
well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you need at least an hour of that.
What are they like? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm slightly out of touch with the jump up scene in general in terms of events. Like, what are the big shows for it in London? Like, which clubs are all the big shows at now?
The biggest promoter in London is probably Breaking Science. They've pioneering jump up for God knows how long, and their events are always brilliant. I've played at quite a few of them in the past. Yeah, they're always good. I don't really know what venues they're using now. I know Suffolk Street Warehouse, they use that sometimes. I think they're doing something there on New Year's Eve, actually. They were usually at the Coronet, but obviously since that's gone, yeah. I don't really know where what other venues are left in London, to be honest.
I mean, yeah, all the really classic venues for that, you know, Bagley's, and they used to do stuff at Mass. I wanted to say, I'm sure there used to be decent raves at Mass. The Fridge.
Yeah, I played at Stratford Rex there for it.
Yeah,
before.
Stratford Rex, of course.
That was a moody venue.
Fucking hell, yeah. Done a few shows. Back in the sort of dubstep days, I did a few bits there in the back room. And yeah, it's... you know what, though, man? Like, all of those sort of, like, the very kind of harder jump-up-y sort of raves and that, like, you can't argue with, like, the vibe down the front at things like that with a load of just, you know, tanked-up rude boys just fucking going at it with that slight sniff of violence in the air. Like, it is... I mean, it's an experience like no other. Like, you can't... It's in some ways equivalent to a mosh pit.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, the raves now, the jump-up parties, I've not seen violence at a jump-up party in a long time. The scene's changed so much. Just for the kids on ketamine. But they're too K-holed up to cause any violence, really.
Those are all the kids that are wearing sportswear, ironically.
Yeah, no, the raves are wicked, though. Like, Breaking Science, they normally sell out. And yeah, I can't really think of any other London promoters, but their events are brilliant. They put a load into the production. They have giant inflatables everywhere, and there's no other event like it, the Breaking Science, I don't think.
Yeah. I need to get down to one. The Halloween lineup looked ridiculous.
Yeah, but now they've branched out. They're doing events all over the place. They do stuff at Concord. I've seen them, popping up all over the place. I think that's simply because the London venues just keep closing. They've got nowhere else to run them, so they have to keep going to other cities and stuff. They do stuff in Bristol as well.
It does seem like there's a bit of a, I don't know, like a strange behind the scenes push in London to try and get these big venues closed down. Like, I don't know, like there was definitely some weirdness going on with Fabric. Like, there was some,
not too sure what happened there.
Some behind the scenes council stuff. I think they wanted to try and basically force them to close, so they had to sell it off and turn it into Posh Flats.
Yeah, that could very well be the case.
Yeah, and there does seem to be quite a lot of that. I blame the Russian oligarchs. Bringing all that oil money over here, you know, buying up Jump Up, you know, sitting on it, waiting until it matures. It's ridiculous. So what, like, back in the way back when was your first release? I want to say 2006 2005.
God, I don't even know. It was around 11 years ago or so. Yeah, around that.
That's it. Was what we're saying here.
I think it was a digital release called Octopus Crime. Was my first ever release. It was when digital first started. I remember when it got signed to the label, and they were like, right, we're not going to press any vinyl with this one. It's just going to be digital. And I was like,
what are you talking about?
How can you have digital-only releases? That doesn't make any logical sense.
Yeah.
And it turns out 11 years later, it's now obviously the only way.
Yeah, what have I got here? DJ Sly featuring Capo. Leveler featuring Envy. Fire Fidem.
Oh, Fire Fidem. Yeah, that was...
acetate. That was only on Dub.
That was
an
early release, yeah. Was on my first EP with Easy Records, Fantasy's label.
Right. Okay, yeah. And then what else have we got? Oh, you and Fun on Easy Records as well. Oh, that's 2009.
Right, yeah, that was Dub Style. That was a vinyl release. I was happy to get that on vinyl.
Yeah, nice. I'm trying to remember. The last time actually I saw you was we were playing a festival in Holland.
Yeah,
in some weird tent.
I got added to that last minute. Yeah.
Weren't you filling in for someone?
I think so. Yeah, I remember I only got added to it last minute because it caused a problem because I was at another. It was in Belgium because I remember.
Yeah,
I was
in Belgium.
I was doing, I think it was Elements Festival over there. And then, like, a week before, my agent was like, oh, I've got you a second show. You can go straight from that festival to this other one.
Mm.
And then it caused a big hoo-ha with the promoter that I played for because he didn't want me to do another show. And, yeah, I remember that one caused a bit of grief.
Great. Right. Yeah, that's what you want, isn't it?
But yeah, I remember seeing you there.
That was when Martin Garrix had just blown up, and he was about 12, and he was playing on the main stage.
Yeah, I do remember that one.
And it was just a really weird mix of people. I mean, that was the sort of, I guess, the kind of beginning of the explosion of EDM. And just weird bunch. And I remember going backstage at that stage and just being so desperately confused by the whole thing. I'd never really heard any of it.
No, I feel the same at every event. I just get confused about it a lot these days. I think it's turning 30. I just don't know what's going on anymore.
What did you
strolling my way through life at the moment.
Yeah, well, just sleepwalking into the apocalypse, mate. That's how it works.
Absolutely.
What did you start making records with? What was your original rig?
Was FL or Fruity Loops back then. God knows what. I think it might have been Fruity Loops 4 or something. I mean, I'm still on it now. I still use FL. Mm. I've just got 20 now.
It's up to 20?
Yeah, it's on 20 now.
God, they ain't slowing down, are they?
No, but it's brilliant now. It's such a brilliant program to use. It's a mile away from what it started as. It was just basically like EJ when it first started, just drag and drop loops and see what happens. But now it's everything you need, and I know it inside out, so I've got no reason to change, really.
Yeah, when I started on it, I think I started on 3, and I used to make loops in that and then bounce them out and arrange them in acid.
Right.
I might be wrong, but I believe the story goes that there was outcry from the beats community, the beat maker community, hip hop community in America. They didn't like the term fruity because of the gay connotations. So okay. They changed it to FL Studio.
I never knew that story. So
well, I don't know if it's true, but it's true that it was a rumor.
Fair enough. We'll take that.
I moved off it when I moved to using a Mac.
And okay, yeah, you can get FL on Macs now. They've just recently done that.
Yeah, haven't they made like a sort of... you don't have to have boot camp, or you don't, or is it just a straight-up Mac program now? Or
I have no idea. I'm still on PC. I just know that they have made a Mac version of it recently.
Mm. They do some great stuff there, and they've got some sort of special huge screen or something that's designed to... like a touch screen or something that's designed to work with it.
Have they?
I think so. Ooh. I'm sure I saw it at like Music Messer or something. It was some absolutely gigantic thing, and it was a little bit like you're in Buddy Blade Runner or something, moving stuff around and, you know, giving it all the business. And there is some other little bit of hardware for it now, isn't there?
Yeah, they bought something out recently. It's like a sampler box that runs with FL. I haven't really looked too much into it, but I did see that they bought some sort of hardware out recently for it.
Mm. That's fun, though. It's nice to have that sort of hands-on thing sometimes, like get away from just staring at the screen.
Yeah, I've not got any hardware in my studio at all. I know a lot of other people do, and they swear by it, but I don't know. I've just not got around to getting any. I've got a little MIDI keyboard, and that's about it.
I heard you can only make those jump-up bass lines with like about 10 grand's worth of modular synths. Is that not true?
No. Contrary to popular belief, Will, it's very simple to make. No, I take that back. It's not simple. It's very.
You're going to get rinsed for that. So.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Get the right sample packs, mate. You're fine. Started on Fruity Loops 4.
Something like that, yeah. A really old version.
Parents' computer?
Yeah, absolutely. In the corner of the dining room.
Oh yes, well, on like PC speakers.
Yeah, PC speakers, massive monitor with a huge arse on the back of it, and taking my headphones off every 10 minutes, going, "Mom, look what I made! Listen to this!"
Yes.
It's like, "Yeah, great, Callum. That's the 19th time you've shown me in the last hour.
Well done, you're a good boy. I'm glad you're not out taking drugs on the streets."
Yeah, pretty much. But look, it led into a wonderful job that I do now, so I love those painstaking hours tweaking nothing for it to eventually turn into something, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, back in those days, like, I presume, did you have the internet at the time?
Yeah, dial up one where you gotta get distracted by your mum trying to make a phone call, and you gotta listen to that awful whatever it was, the dial up tone.
Yeah,
my internet use was limited.
Yeah, kids now won't understand the pain of trying to download like a WAV of a moody tune on Soulseek and then having your mum pick up the phone and it cut off.
Yeah, absolutely. It was heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And then to find out that tune is just it's just riddled with viruses as well.
Yeah, well there was a thing for a while of when I remember it happened with some Pendulum tunes, where they would take the intro and the build up of the tune and then at the drop would switch it into like a happy hardcore tune and then put that out on Soulseek and LimeWire for people to waste their time downloading.
Brilliant.
That's hilarious. I think I feel like JFB and Ed Solo might have done that to some tunes in Decline's collection and then watched him play them out.
Quality.
That's hilarious. So how long do you think you were making stuff before you managed to make something good enough to release?
I started messing about with EJ when I was like 12, I think.
Oh yeah.
My older brother used to DJ when I was growing up, so I always liked music, had an interest in what he was doing. And then he basically grew out of it, started doing other things, passed his decks to me when I was like 15 or 14 or something. Started trying to make music seriously then. And then, yeah, it was the MySpace days where I used to put up little clips, send these desperate messages to every label and producer and DJ in the scene saying, hey, please check out my stuff. And then eventually, yeah, it was Fantasy was the first one that got back to me.
Nice.
And yeah, I must have been producing, I don't know, 4 years or so, like from the early messing about on EJ stage to actually getting some interest. Yeah, and then I worked with him for like 4 years, I think, and I had an EP, two vinyl singles. Yeah, he's got me on Devotion. I played quite a few Innovation events back when he was working for him. Yeah, so he kind of helped me get into the scene, I guess, in that respect.
Nice. He's yeah, it's always good to have that sort of, I guess, kind of mentor character back at the beginning to I don't know, steer you along that early path.
Yeah, exactly that. And when I mentioned earlier about doing going to Devotion for my first ever rave, I remember having a vivid memory of being front row with my brother, and we was watching Fantasy and UK Apache do a live PA of their track. It's called Give Me the Girl.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah, that one. And I remember like standing front row, not having any clue what was going on, being in my first rave. My brother was like, "This is what drum and bass is all about." And it's just from that moment, I always saw Fantasy as someone I wanted to work with or kind of be like, I guess. And then, yeah, so when I worked with him and he ended up getting me on Devotion events, it was kind of come full circle.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wasn't he an extra in Football Factory?
He did dabble in acting. I can't remember what he was in. Yeah, he was in a couple of films,
I think. Sure he was. I'm sure he had a Devotion hoodie on. Or maybe it's in the like the extras on the DVD or something. Like.
Possibly. I know he dabbled in that, yeah.
Yeah. How about that? So, was that last bit your first thing on Technique, or have you done a few bits with them?
I had a single on their summer album. They done like a summer LP.
Yep, that's it.
I had one track on that called Tribal Funk.
Mm.
And then, yeah, Bassline Smith said that because that single, he was really happy with the way that one track done on the album. He wanted to get a full single off me.
Mm.
And that's when I wrote Error and Lurkers was the B-side for that. That's what I made that for him.
Nice.
Yeah, I've just done a remix for him, actually.
Which tune?
Body Pump with Young Man.
Yeah.
Pump, so everybody pump, so everybody pump. That one. I just done a little 2018 relick on it because that's a good like 5-6 years old or something.
Yeah.
And that's coming next year. They're doing I think it's 20 years of Technique, like a remix album next year.
Jeez. Yeah, that makes it. It would have been about that long. Bloody hell.
Yeah, that's been a long time, that label.
God. So did you go back, like, did you buy a lot of vinyl back in the... early days?
Yeah, I had a massive collection, and the biggest regret of my life was selling it.
Oh no!
I know. I had two 12/10 Mark V's. I had a 4-channel mixer. I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of vinyl. And then when I got to see my first set of CD decks, they were just sitting there collecting dust for I think it was about a year. I just never ended up turning them on. And I'm like, I'm just sitting on money here. I was a 18-year-old hard-up lad, and I just ended up selling them. think for about 500 quid just for a quick buck. And now it's the biggest regret of my life. I would do anything to sit and have a play around with my old collection. And yeah, there's tunes that I remember. I remember visually what the record looked like and the sleeve, but I don't know what they are or to even how to find them now. So yeah, so much music that was golden to my growing up that's lost forever now.
Oh, that's a real tragedy. You'll have to do a Discogs deep dive. Like, set yourself up a Discogs account and then go on it and start, like, think of some tunes that you, like, oh, I definitely remember having that. Add them to your collection and then it'll start suggesting stuff that's like, oh, well, if you've got that, then you might like this. And I reckon if you go long enough, you might end up finding everything.
Is that how it works, is it? I've never used Discogs.
Yeah, you can do
since
that.
Since I sold it, I've had no reason to buy any more vinyl, so you've never been on there.
Well, I mean, you could make the collection up and then try and get stuff on MP3, and then maybe you could change this picture of you. I can't resist getting it out. Look, there he is. Callum Slight.
Oh. Is that really coming up? There's a lag on my YouTube.
He's a fine young gentleman. He's ready. He's ready to go out for dinner with Nicky Blackmarket.
Like I said, I remember needing a press shot for something. It might have been for a flyer or something. And yeah, I didn't have any pictures. I was like, Mum, take a picture of me looking super cool with my headphones around my neck. Oh, God, that's just come up. That's horrendous, isn't it?
It's nice. I think it's great. Oh, look, I can edit it for you if you want. So I'll get a picture of me up instead. Just give it a thumbs up. You can, all right, look, edit images. Here you are, look, I'll put your proper pressure up for you because, you know, I'm here to help.
Oh, thank you, man.
That's all right. You know, I try to do something for Jump Up every now and again just as a sort of charitable effort. Here we go. Where are you? Down there. Oh, there you are. I like your sort of minimal moustache you've got going on in your current press. Oh, pending.
That took me a while to grow. That's about as much as I can do.
That might take a little save changes. There you go. Submission notes are required. Submission notes. Here he is looking more grown up and handsome. He's all grown up.
I'm a big boy now.
Yeah, he's like Pinocchio. I'm a wheel boy. I think it's a little bit like Wikipedia, though. I think someone has to go on there and, like, confirm that it is definitely... You get enough people confirming, and then it's all right.
Right, okay. I'll have to send some people to confirm the link. But yeah, it's even got my old name. I've not been called Callum Slight for about 13 years. Yeah, that's been updated a long time ago.
Well, if any of the Lobster Crew want to go onto Callum's page and update it, that'd be very decent of them. They're a decent bunch.
Where does the lobster come from? Because I've only caught
lobsters.
A few shows here and there, and I don't understand it.
Lobsters.
Well, I've got this sample lobsters. Of Jordan Peterson saying lobsters. Can you hear that?
Lobsters.
Yeah, I can hear it.
That is basically it. That's sort of where it comes from. And I got this toy lobster here. It's called, I say toy, he's not. He's a real, walking, talking, living lobster. It's called Wesley Snips. and I mean, the listeners actually nicknamed themselves the Lobster Crew. They're just a bunch of, you know, upstanding, honest, decent, God-fearing folk out for a better way of life, you know. And that is, you know, combined with, you know, hard drum and bass, pingers and sex robot news. That's the Lobster Crew, really.
It seems like a fun group of people. I want to be involved.
Yeah, you can be. All you have to do is tune in to Coffee and Memes at 10 a.m. every morning, and you can, you know, you can be part of the Lobster Crew.
Wait, I'm done. Do we get t-shirts or like a badge or something?
Yeah, there are t-shirts available. Just go to threshold.fm/store. Don't you worry about that. There's plenty of them there.
I mean, I want one of your mugs as well. I can see you double drop the 9 mugs.
Yeah, I'll send you one if you want. Just send me your address afterwards. I'll pop you one in the post for Christmas.
Awesome. Much appreciated.
What's your best double drop with the 9?
The 9, obviously.
But double dropping it with the 9?
Yeah, just one beat out so that you can sort of juggle it around and make your own little mashup of it.
Nice. I like to double drop the remastered version with the original version. That's
To avoid the phasing, that would work.
Yeah, only just.
No, would that avoid phasing if it's remastered? I guess it would.
Maybe I like to have them just slightly out of phase, just to get a little bit of that nice washy flanger going on over the top of it. Are you much of a one for double drops when you play out? Is that your vibe?
I love a double drop, yeah.
It's the jump up.
I love a big epic breakdown and then a little switch at the drop, so kind of catch them by surprise. Don't really know what's going to happen.
A little bit of teasing.
Yeah, I love a tease. Just a little tickle here and there.
Yeah, just gently teasing the Titan in over Para Ra or something like that.
I love your sort of 2009 era of jump up. Is just, oh, that was the best time, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah. I mean, for me, 2000 to about 2006 is my favourite era of drum and bass.
It was a strong time.
The Ram stuff that was around then, the bits that were coming out on Frequency, that Ram offshoot, obviously all the Dillinger stuff at that point, Full Cycle, Infrared. Just so much amazing stuff. I mean, there's still like great stuff coming out now, don't get me wrong, but it was you know, these days it's hard to find stuff that isn't a remix of a remix of a remix of a remix, really.
Yeah, exactly. There's only so many original ideas you can do before you do end up start rehashing old stuff. And yeah, it's there's tens of thousands of records made over the years, and yeah, you can't be original all the time, so everything does sound like a carbon copy of everything else.
I guess a lot more records are being made now than there were in those times, like, you know, being now that it's sort of the fact that anyone can get software, anyone can get good software for free, even like legitimate software for free. It's somewhat democratized the industry a little bit, and that's good and bad, I guess.
Yeah, even like on weekly now, you've got, I don't even know what number of records a week, but it's got to be hundreds and hundreds of drum and bass tracks released every week. And yeah, like, there's just such a saturation in the market that it's hard to find the good stuff these days, I find.
Yeah, it's, oh look, you've come up on in place of my face. This is I don't know what, oh no, that's, I'm getting very confused with the windows that are open on my computer at the moment. It's, you know. It's hard being me sometimes. I've not got the brain cells I used to have.
It's all them pingers, Will.
You know what? I think it might be. Yeah, all them pingers in the noughties. Yeah. But without
the best
them...
Best time of your life, though, right?
Well, think about it. Without all them pingers and without all that drum and bass, I wonder what I could have done with my life.
I don't know. You never know. You might not be talking to a lobster right now, so...
I could be Elon Musk. It's possible.
It is possible.
Yeah. When you were starting to get into it, what were the tunes and what were the labels that really really were doing it for you? Not allowed to say Fantasy again.
Okay, pretty much the labels you just listed. I my golden years were Distorted Minds, Twisted Individual, G-Dub, Early Hazard. That's the era I really fell in love with it.
Proper Clown Step.
Sorry?
Proper Clown Step.
Yeah, mate, yes. The first drum and bass track I ever actually heard was Body Rock by Andy C and Shimon.
Really?
Yeah, I remember when my brother used to DJ, it was all old school garage, and then one day he came home with this record with his mates and played it, and I was like, wow, this doesn't sound like anything that I'm used to hearing him play in his bedroom. And yeah, it turns out that was drum and bass. And so I fell in love with that wonky, clown steppy kind of vibe. And I think that's probably what's influenced my sound, I guess.
That's interesting because... like having that as your first drum and bass track and that being your frame of reference for drum and bass, because that was such a different and unique track when it came out, like with the triplet beat, and it was just, and it was so wonky and weird and sounded, it sounds like ketamine basically. That's strange. And then there was a few tracks that sort of referenced it, like Bad Company, Triton. Space Hopper.
Hopper. I know the one.
Yeah, this is Trident's Universe. This is Trident's. Yes. Yeah, that's a great record. And then, well, yeah, obviously a few other people sort of cashed in on the triplet beat, Vault being the best example.
Yeah. So that was the era I got into it, was them kind of artists. Mm. And then, yeah, early Technique stuff, had loads of that. Old Formation records. That's the era that I was collecting vinyl and learning how to mix and using all those new tunes I was buying, kind of getting inspiration to make my own stuff in the studio.
Mm.
Yeah, the golden years.
Where were you finding samples and stuff back in the early days?
just a computer music magazine. I remember having a subscription to that because you always get the free sample packs that come with it.
Mm.
Yeah, just kind of anywhere I could find. I used to sit there for days on end just on the computer Googling and finding all these random sample packs, just building up a library. Some of them I still go to now. Like, I've got packs on my hard drive that are like 15 years old.
Really?
That you still find little golden sounds you can fuck with. And yeah, it's cool.
Nice. I got a lot of stuff off of eBay back in the day. Weird sample packs that people would make themselves, presumably just out of stuff they'd ripped from other places.
Like, yeah.
Under really strange names and weird genres and stuff. I mean, because obviously you couldn't listen to anything before you bought it. Like, they hadn't quite worked out the system of how to preview audio on eBay in 2005.
Yeah.
Oh, they're a lot of absolute crap, but some real gold, like some stuff which has obviously been sampled off of like old sound modules and old like Proteus sound modules and things like that. They're really great.
Yeah, there's some hidden gems in them old packs for sure.
Yeah. Also, like you can get those old sound modules for next to nothing on eBay now, like 100 quid or something.
Oh, and really?
Yeah, they've got huge amounts of sounds on them. And it's just a case of sort of going through, and especially they're really, really good for like old house and techno sort of sounds and like really nice pads and sort of, I mean, you're not going to get any wonky jump up bass out of it, but.
Yeah. No, that's what I find now when if I'm sample hunting now, I will steer as far clear from drum and bass or bass music related stuff as possible. Because when a new Loop Masters pack comes out by the current drum and bass producer, you know that every other drum and bass producer is buying that pack.
Yep, me included.
I'll draw in for some techno ones or some old jazz kits or something, and then just find sounds that you know no one else is using. Also, what I like doing now is going to the pound shop, the old Poundland, and they've always got a load of old CDs that no one's ever heard of. I just buy a load of random stuff and then just sit through them, chopping up little samples and sounds. Do that for a day, and then you've got your own untapped resource of sounds that you know no one else is working with.
You are definitely the only person doing that, I reckon.
Well, you know, you've got hundreds of CDs in Pound Shop, and you don't know what's on any of them. People you've never heard of. But yeah, I like doing that. You get some unique sounds from that.
I thought that you were going to say that's where you get your jump up samples. Yeah.
All my wobbles come from old blue CDs.
you know all those wobbles are coming straight from the pound shop. It's
pound shop wobbles.
That's how you get that straight out of the box, you know, vibe. who are your favourites now? Like, who are your who do you play the most tracks of?
Upgrade is a really good producer. He's a good friend of mine, and I think I love what he's doing. He's making Jump Up, but it's a real classy, well-produced, high-energy level of Jump Up. And anytime he sends me stuff, I'm guaranteed to want to play it out, and it always works. He's definitely one. If you don't know about him already, then to check his stuff out.
Yeah,
he's
I'm got sure his we'll own, a few
some
bits
stuff at Low Down Deep and Serial Killers he works with.
Mm.
Yeah, he's a good producer. Another one, Annex. I love their stuff. They're kind of making that Jump Up neuro crossover sound, I guess.
Right.
It's different to most Jump Up anyway. I really like their stuff too.
Mm. The Serial Killer boys, do you know Toby and my boys?
Graham's the other one.
Yes. Yeah.
I've met Graham a few times. I've only met Toby once.
Graham Vital Elements?
Sorry?
It's Graham Vital Elements.
That's the one, yeah.
Yeah. He used to do A&R at New Urban way back when.
Yeah.
He was largely in control of a lot of drum and bass.
Yes, Toby was, yeah.
Yeah, he's a real character. I'm a big fan of Toby. He's totally mad, though.
Yeah, I've only ever met him once, and that was just one of those quick backstage at a gig.
How drunk was he?
I think it was early in the night, to be honest. So I don't think he was.
He was still upright. Bless him. Every time I've seen him in the last 10 years, we've been very, very drunk at random shows in weird countries.
That's all we ever do most weekends, though, is just get drunk in random countries.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it? It's a funny lifestyle. It's a funny lifestyle. You've got to have the right things to the right sort of the things that keep you grounded. You've got to have the points in place to sort of keep you on the straight and narrow a little bit. Like, you've got kids, haven't you?
Yeah, the two kids.
Yeah, so that'll keep you, you know, on the straight and narrow to a decent extent, because you've got fatherly responsibilities.
Absolutely, yeah. I've stopped drinking at gigs now. If it's an event that there's loads of artists, like doing Let It Roll or something, you know that it's going to be a social gathering backstage, and you're going to have a couple of drinks. But it's just like your average show, I guess. I don't drink anymore because I can't deal with the getting hammered, having 2 hours sleep, flying home, and then having to be dad as soon as I land. Yeah, yeah. It just don't work.
It's too much. I mean, that the really, like, getting absolutely smashed at and doing a few shows in a row across different countries is definitely an early 20s.
Yeah, exactly. Reserve. I hit 30, I was just, can't do it anymore, man. Can't do it.
If only there was some sort of performance-enhancing drugs that could help a man out. Like the sort of, the hangover recovery equivalent of steroids or something that you could... I don't know. If it shaved 10 years off the end of my life, perhaps that would...
It would work.
I don't know. What's your... What's the plan for the label? Are you just going to go on bigger, better, keep smashing away?
What, with the labels I'm going to work with?
Yeah, yeah. And your label?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, my own label is stopped now, temporarily. We still do the multifunction nights in Brighton,
right,
which
okay.
I'm from the label. We still do that. We've got some wicked events lined up for next year. But as a label, we released my album end of last year, and then I've not released anything since, other than a little remix project from the album we did. But other than that, it's been nearly a year since we've released anything, purely because I want to just, in a selfish way, I want to focus on my own music for a bit.
Yeah, fair enough.
I found myself spending so much of my time doing label admin and PR and doing everything yourself. It's such a big job trying to run a label. It was just taking away time that I wanted to be creative, really. So I just put it on the back burner for now, started making my own stuff. And I'm more inspired now making music, and I'm writing more stuff than I ever have. So it's definitely worked in that respect. And
perfect.
Then, it's still there. It's still active in the background. So if a project comes up that I want to release, it's always there.
Yeah. Well, train the kids up. Get them to run it for you.
Yeah, exactly that. I'm gonna get my little girl to run it for me.
Yeah, that's the dream, isn't it? No, it's not. It's not. Is it child labour if they're your own kids? I don't know. I don't know how it works.
I don't know. I think it depends if you're using chains to sort of like hold them in place and make sure she doesn't leave the computer.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's important to make sure they get the work done, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, and if the odd restraint here or there, just a little bit of encouragement.
Yeah, exactly that.
Yeah, they understand. Right, listen, dude, I will let you get back to making music, being dad, and generally being a, just your run-of-the-mill everyday hero.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, mate.
Mate, an absolute pleasure. You're welcome anytime.
Right, take care. I'm going to wait for that mug to come through.
Yeah, that's fine. Send me your address over Skype and I'll stick that in today.
Nice one, mate. Much appreciated.
Powerful Leveler. I will see. Oh, also, last bit. Is Leveler named after Bong Mix, or is it the Levelers?
Bong Mix?
Is it a Bong Mix reference?
No. I've honestly never smoked a bong in my life.
Really?
I've no idea. I've never even heard of that reference.
Right, so because when I was a youth, I certainly don't smoke Bong Mix anymore. I would die. But you would load up your cone... And you could have either a Leveler, where it was level at the top, or a Haystacker, where it was sort of, coned out at the end. But yeah, just a flat one was called a Leveler. And then you'd get your spoig, wouldn't you? And you'd have your thumb on the rush hole and all of that.
This is like another language to me. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Were you not a teenager?
Yeah.
You were a teenager in Crawley.
I was a good boy, though. I was the recluse in my mum's dining room making music.
Oh, yeah, fair enough, yeah.
Rather than smoking bongs.
Crazy that Jump Up actually steered you in the right direction.
Yeah, I could say that. No, there's no real good story behind my name. It was just, I got to a point I needed a name for myself, and I heard it, and it just stuck. There's no real interesting story behind it, unfortunately.
No reference to the band, The Levelers.
No, but I have been tagged in a couple of pictures where they're playing at certain like country festivals.
Great.
And people tag me in and they say, is this you?
Why don't you do a bootleg of one of their tunes? I can't name any, but there's...
Right, neither can I.
Well, look, mate, I'll let you get on. A pleasure. You take it easy.
All right, dude. See you soon.
In a bit. Oh, another one. quickly, another one. The remix of Tyrant, is it by T greater than I? Is that how you say it?
It's just pronounced T-I.
T-I?
I don't know why. I don't know why the greater than symbol is there. I know it causes him some problems because with certain sort of like fan pages, you're not allowed special characters. So
He needs to sort it out. He needs to get his act together.
Get your act together.
Tell him
I'll pass the message on.
All right, nice one, dude. Take it easy.
Take care, mate. See ya.
Bye. There he goes, Leveler. He's just your run-of-the-mill everyday champion, everyday hero, just out there getting it done, out there for a better way of life. Right, look, let's play that Tyrant remix, because it's great. We've played it a lot on this show, but it is really good. I think I've worked out why the video is going weird. I've been trying to broadcast in 1080 because it's possible, but it's just too much for it apparently. Yes, so that's the TI remix of Tyrant by Leveler. Been saying it wrong for all these goddamn years. All these goddamn years. All these goddamn... Wow. Police released text messages. Alleged teacher had sex with teen. She is hot. Wow. The teacher, that is. What a lucky boy. Sure, that's not the right attitude to have about that. Anyway. Hey, look, we might as well get... We've got 7 minutes of the show left. Guys, thanks again to Leveler. He's a good boy. I'm a fan. I think I wish him all the best with his Bebo page and his MySpace. I wonder whether or not that picture of him is going to update or not. So some nice, helpful member of the Lobster Crew. Head on over to Discogs and help him out. God bless him. Right, look, there is a couple of funny stories I've got here. Man blows 1 million from dodgy cash machine in 4 months, then hands himself in. Oh, God. A barman began living the high life after a dodgy cash machine allowed him to take money out of his account without being charged for it. Right, that's an absolute result. Dan Saunders Just had his card declined at the bar when he tried to buy a round of drinks for his mates. A trip to the nearest hole in the wall revealed that he had just £3 to his name. But desperate for a pint, the 29-year-old decided to withdraw £100 anyway and worry about the consequences later. And though the screen said the transaction was cancelled, money came out and the bank was none the wiser. Wow. That is the stuff of a young boy's dreams, really, isn't it? In fact, there was that, I don't know if anyone ever watched Eerie Indiana, that kid show that was on in, probably, I guess, the late 90s. Really good show. Actually genuinely terrifying, some episodes. But there was an episode whereby the cash machine had a sort of artificial intelligence thing in it, and the kid makes friends with it, and it just starts giving him cash. And he goes and spends it on ice cream. You know, kid stuff, innit? Spend it on meth and hookers. The Australian worked out that if he went to the same ATM between midnight and 1 a.m, he could take out as much money as he wanted and not get charged. Right, that's quite specific. Over the next 4 months, he splashed $1 million on private jets, Hugo Boss suits, as well as high-class escorts. He even paid off his friend's student debt. Man, how long would it take to take £1 million out of a cash point? He said, being able to withdraw hundreds with the stroke of a key was very addictive. I felt like a caveman discovering fire. Eating out at the best restaurants and throwing wild parties, they began to take its toll. Dan was racking up an incredible amount of debt and had to keep his double life a secret from his family. His biggest expense was when he spent $50,000 on chartering a 20-seat private jet filled with all his mates to Bali. Oh my God, he said, I couldn't tell you exactly where it was, but I didn't need a passport to get there. Wow. We were in the air for about 3 hours and had filled the plane up with people. It was a mix of old friends and new faces. We hired the whole resort, the overwater villas, and ate and drank there. Wow. I opened the book on anything. People just gave me their dreams and I fulfilled them. This is wild. This is like something out of a film. It wasn't just close friends who benefited from Dan's newfound wealth. He once hired a minibus and picked up strangers from hostels in Melbourne and drove them to an estate in Yarra Valley where he held crazy pool parties. But as time went by, things quickly went downhill for Dan, who eventually tried gambling to win the money back. Overcome with guilt, he suffered with vivid nightmares. Oh dear. He said, I remember waking up in a pool full of sweat, realizing that it was just a dream. And then the hotel doorbell rang and I was like, that's it, I'm gone, they're coming for me. Which actually would have been a relief, but it turned out to be a maid asking if I wanted fresh towels. So I bought her and shagged her. It was great. Oh no, I made that bit up. After blowing all the cash, Dan eventually got in touch with the bank and told them what had happened. 3 years later, he was arrested on 111 counts related to fraud and theft. Dan said, the court case was weird because no one actually understood what I did. Not the judge, not the prosecutor. It was very odd. There were many blank looks. The bank provided minimal evidence, so it was really just a case of, bad Dan, that's it, case closed. They even played the current affair interview in the courtroom as evidence. It was surreal. I just sat back and pleaded guilty and sort of let it all unfold. It was the oddest set of circumstances I've ever witnessed. After serving a year in prison, Dan was released in May 2016 and is back working behind a bar. God, that's a hell of a story! Jesus, Dan, you are a you're kind of, what a legend. That's mental. I think probably I could have just been worth a year in prison if someone was like, hey look, you're gonna get £1 million, you get to live the life of Riley, you can pay off your mate's student debts, you're chartering private jets, you're getting it all done, but you got to do a year in prison. What sort of prison? Well, I mean, it's like white collar crime. You'd just be playing tennis with Rolf Harris. I don't know, Rolf Harris is probably in a really rough place, as well he should be. He's going to be playing racquetball with some, I don't know, some people who've been done for insider trading. Yeah, right, I'll do it. I'll take the bit of bird and I'll get a good story out of it, probably be able to sell the film rights. Quid's in. Wow, I want to get him on the show. He should start a podcast. I'm not donating to his Patreon, no. No way, Dan Saunders. Oh, well. Christ, blimey. Okay, look, to play us out, he's Lost It by Inside Info. This is out now on Paul Inside Info's label. And it's wonky, and I like it, and it's good. Here he is, I've got him up on the screen now. He looks like a chubby-faced boy. Lost It by Inside Info. A fine slice of the good stuff. So a little bit of housekeeping. The Gold Top show that was on last night by Kruk and Bide was deemed so good that we're going to play it again on Wednesday. So tomorrow night at 8, it'll be back straight away, just like that. Whew, back once again with the Ill Behaviour and the fucking Shoe Throwers. Leaves me with time to shout out the VIP list. This is a list of bad motherfuckers that are donating to help keep the show and Threshold.fm running. Help us keep the lights on. Help me keep doing the show every day. This is Oliver Hooper, Nicholas Gonclaus, Tom Ryan, Rhys Mosson, Squidgy Beats Parsons, Paulie Hutton, Ciaran R, Michael Kaczynski, Matthew Tompkins. Oh, it's Kieran R. Sorry, I'm locked in old habits. Dave Long, Joel Potter, Cole Murphy, Sam Howard, Tony J, Richard Patterson, Jack Murphy, Tom Capp, Stephen Harris, Matthew Boulard, Zara Pickle, Jerome Van Thunderbutt, Mike Pye, Anthony Walker, Lily Unsub, Richard Franks, Thomas Hall, Chode Ryder, Andrew Heischelbeck, John Finneson, BDR Crew, and Peter Blatchford. Thank you all. Thank you everyone that's supporting on Patreon. Everyone is supporting from $1 a month to much, much more. You're all wonderful humans. So I'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for more of these crazy coffee and memes. On Thursday will be the Christmas party. I'll work out some sort of Christmas theme for it. It'll be fun. And then on Friday, I'm going to attempt to do a 2018 roundup of the best nonsense of 2018 and the best Shoe Throwers, I guess. Perhaps you can vote in the Lobster Crew group on what have been the best tunes of the year. Get into them. Maybe we could crown Shoe Thrower of the Year. Whew. Wow, that'd be an accolade, wouldn't it? Imagine making a record and it being deemed Shoe Thrower of the Year by Coffee and Memes. That is, I mean, that's better than winning an Oscar or something, isn't it? Or a Grammy or a, you know, a BAFTA. Chew thrower of the year. Whew. Wow. Intense. Right. I've got a studio to move. Yeah. So this year, Friday will be the last show of the year. And I'll be back on the 3rd because I'm in the process of moving studios. But fun news, the new studio has got central heating, so it is much warmer. So, but it is actually quite hot, so maybe I'll be doing it topless. That would be good, wouldn't it? That would be a real treat. Look, I love you. Go out, be good, make great art, exercise, eat good food, and generally be decent to each other. Take on some responsibility, tidy your room, and just bloody have at it. Right, I love you. Goodbye. See you tomorrow.